Bibles tonight, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and we are in a missions conference, and a missions conference is very, very important in the life of a church, and it's different than a revival, and you know, we're just basically here to teach and preach on missions. And last night's message, I've always been of this persuasion that it doesn't really matter, you can teach and preach on missions till you're blue in the face. But if people's hearts aren't right with God, then who cares about a world going to hell? Okay, but wow, when you get your heart right with the Lord, you know, then you're going to love the things that He loves and you're going to hate the things that He hates. Are y'all with me? And the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Amen. Aren't you glad He loves this area, Gillette, Wyoming? He loves Wyoming. Isn't that a blessing? But God loves the world. Okay? All the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world, okay? So our vision sometimes, you know, we don't want to just have tunnel vision. We want to have a world vision, okay? And we want to see like Jesus sees, okay? And boy, if we could ever see like He sees, it'll change our lives, okay? And so anyway, in saying that, we preached the message last night, you know, and really, the tear up the script message is just to kind of, you know, if you got bitterness or something in your heart that, you know, it might be something different, but just something in your heart. And, you know, the songwriter said, nothing between my soul and the Savior, okay? I mean, I want it to be, the lines to be clear so that I can hear God speaking to my heart, okay? And so, again, just assuming that we're all right with the Lord tonight, we're going to move on into missions tonight. And I have a lot of missionary quotes in my Bible, and I have a lot of missionary quotes, okay? Robert Moffat was a great missionary, and he said, I have seen at different times the smoke of 1,000 villages whose people are without Christ. Our brother was talking about Alaska, and you know, all the places in Alaska where there's no gospel witness, you know, and the villages whose people are without Christ, without God, and without hope in the world. And someone said this, we can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. And these are just little missions. I like little one-liners, and I've got them on the pages in the back of my Bible. Someone said this, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Someone else said this, the worst crime of the desert is knowing where the water is and not telling. Wow. I like that Bible verse. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I've tasted. He's good, isn't He? The Lord's good, isn't He? Yeah, we've tasted. Amen. Well, we want other people, you know, to taste and to know the Lord like we know the Lord. Amen. In other parts of the world. How many of y'all know the old song, Send the Light, the Blessed Gospel Light? Let it shine from shore to shore. You remember that song? I've often said this, if we're going to send the light, somebody's got to pay the light bill. If we're going to send the light, somebody's got to pay the light bill. So we all understand it costs money to, you know, to send missionaries to the distant lands and their families. And boy, thank God for those serving in Africa, you know. I mean, wow, that's not on my bucket list to go to Africa anytime soon. You probably don't have it on the radar either. But thank the Lord we have boots on the ground in Africa that are from the church, you know, the church is supporting them on a monthly basis. So all those souls that are saved in Africa, that's fruit that abounds to Central Baptist Church. Amen. Last night I was calling y'all Calvary Baptist Church. I don't even know where I'm at. Amen. Anyway, I've been to so many different churches and all that. I renamed the church last night. But anyway, y'all just have to forgive me. But Central Baptist Church. And so we could say it like this. The sun never sets on the gospel being preached through Central Baptist Church, because we have missionaries deployed all over the world. And while we're sleeping tonight in different time zones, people are being saved. Isn't that a blessing? And boy, what a blessing to understand that. So again, I'm not trying to sneak up on you or beat you over the head with the Bible, but this thing of faith promise missions giving, we believe it to be scriptural, okay? Just, I mean, God had one son and He made that son a missionary. And it's important to God, so it ought to be important to us. Now, listen to this little statement. A missionary, Kenneth Elsey, is a friend of mine. He's a missionary to Bolivia, South America. And he said this, missionary Kenneth Elzy, he started several churches in Bolivia. He started a Spanish-speaking church in Rogers, Arkansas when his wife died, and he's back on the field in Bolivia now. And I love Brother Kenneth Elzy, but Kenneth Elzy, missionary to Bolivia, said this. He said, missionaries have to make a lifestyle change to go to the field that God has called them to. Missionaries have to make a lifestyle change to go to the field that God has called them to. And then he said this, I got a little slash, and then he said, we should have to make a lifestyle change to send them. Wow, that's good, isn't it? I mean, if somebody's willing to pack up, you know, and go all the way to Africa, you know, and they're willing to do that for the Lord, surely I could, you know, have a part in it by praying for them. Surely I could have a part in it by giving to missions so that they can go, you know. And then so someone has said this, and I like this. There are three groups of people in every church. There's the go missionaries. So the go missionaries, those are the ones who are watching the videos. You know, they're the ones that are carrying the gospel to the regions beyond Gillette, Wyoming, and the state of Wyoming. And so they're carrying to the Alaska, to Africa, to all these other places. Okay, that's the go missionary. The second group of people is the co-missionaries. The co-missionaries, that's those of us here at Central Baptist Church that are involved in the missions program of the church. We're co-missionaries. What do you mean co-missionaries? Well, we go out and we work our jobs. Are you listening to me? We go out and work our jobs, and then when we come back in, we bring the tithe, and the tithe is the Lord. Say that with me. The tithe is the Lord. Say that with me. The tithe is the Lord's, okay? If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have any apples, and we give Him that first apple, the first fruits of all our increase. Now, we're co-missionaries, okay? So by being co-missionaries, we go out, work our jobs, we bring our tithe in. The tithe is the Lord's. But then we come to our missions conference, and it's just the time in the life of a church where we set aside a few days, and we kind of get our eyes off ourselves, and we see the videos, and we thank God for all those little missionary kids that are over there in Africa, and we're helping put beans on their table or whatever they eat in Africa, rice on their table or whatever it is, and we get to have a part in sustaining that missionary's livelihood. But so, see, we go out and work our jobs, and time is money. So we've got skin in the game because we're giving some of our monies that God has blessed us with here in America. We're giving some of our life. Are you with me? We're giving some of our life just like they've given their lives. We, too, are giving some of our lives because we're bringing some of our income in, and we're just praying, and we're just saying, God, Lord, what do you want me to give above my tithe? How many of y'all like icing on your cake? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm all in on, I like icing on my cake. Well, this is kind of like, you know, this is not, you don't have to participate in this offering if you want to. This is a free will offering. This is a voluntary offering. Are you with me? This is an I love Jesus offering. Are you with me? And man, you know, but I do love Jesus, and I'm glad I'm not going to hell no more. I am glad. I'm like the old truck driver. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. Amen. I'm not going to hell. Well, hey, the old preacher man said, I'd do anything to keep a man out of hell. And that's what we're here for. You know, the whole premise of Christianity is he didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And I'm glad that, you know, I repented of my sins and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I received Him as my personal Savior. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Well, listen, God gives all men some light, but we send missionaries to give them more light. How many of you did not get saved? You did not get saved the first time you heard the gospel. Raise your hand. You did not get saved the first time you heard it. I didn't either. And man, I thank God that God was merciful to me. He let me have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to hear the gospel. And then one day, boom, I got saved by the grace of God. And listen, there are people all over the world. We send the missionaries to give them more light. Are you with me? And so what a blessing it is. And again, you know, we're talking about the card and all. And it's a big deal, y'all, the card, the faith promise card. And again, you do not, it's really low key. It's between you and the Lord. And you just pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to give above my tithe to help reach the world that Jesus Christ died for? And then you just be still. Your mama ever tell you to be still? How many of your mama used to tell you, be still, you little wiggle worm? And you know, my mama would tell me, be still, you know? And God says, be still and know that I am God. Isn't that a blessing? And I just listen to God, and you know, I mean, I'm all ears, you know? I'm just listening to that still small voice of God, and I just let God impress upon my heart what He wants me to give. Now listen to me, the important thing here is not how much you give. The important thing is that we all do something. Okay, we got people with different, you know, we're all over the map, how much money we make and where we're at in our faith and all that. But the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And wow, you know, I just want to say, okay, Lord, thank you. You've given me all these apples. You want an apple for the tithe? Okay, you know, and then what do you want for the missions, Lord? And then whatever, if He says, I want a quarter of an apple or half an apple or a whole apple or whatever He tells me, I just give. And guess how my wife and I, we give ours, we give our tithe and our missions offer, we give it right off the top. I mean, that's the first fruits. We just do it by faith. And guess what? God, we just trust the Lord and He takes care of everything else. He does, y'all. How many of y'all is kind of, you know, these people that are real smart, you know, they try to figure out, you know, how, you know, I don't know how that 90% with God's blessing can go farther than 100% without His blessing, but I just know it works. I know that tithing works because I'm being obedient to God. Are y'all with me? And I know it works. Why? Because I've experienced it. Amen. And I do not want to be a God robber. This offering that we're talking about now, though, it's just an other's offering. It's an other's offering. It's so that other people in other places can have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And it takes money to send missionaries. So I'm just telling you, you're going to be shocked at how much money the church raises for missions just with everybody doing something. Does that make sense? Everybody doing a little bit. It adds up, y'all. I'm just telling you. Okay, so what's happened in the past? You say, well, how have we supported our missionaries in the past? Pastor doesn't mind me. We're not trying to hide anything or anything. He's probably talked to you about it before. But in the past, the church has given 10%. 10% of what comes in the plate has gone to missions, okay? Now, that's awesome. Praise the Lord for that 10%. Like we're giving a tithe off of everything that comes into missions, okay? I have a preacher friend of mine named Charles Pugh at the First Baptist Church in Cottondale, Texas. Where is Cottondale, Texas? It's real close to Boyd, Texas. Where's Boyd, Texas? It's close to Fort Worth. Okay. How many of y'all have heard of Fort Worth? Maybe in Cowtown. Okay. All right. So he calls me one day and he says, Brother Wido, you know, and he's got a good church out in the country. I mean, he's got a country church out in Cottondale, Texas. Okay. And it's just really more like a community than a bunch of ranchers and all that around the area there. And so he calls me, and he's a friend of mine. And Brother Pugh says, Brother Wido, we've been giving, we've been debt-free, and everything's paid for, and we've been giving 30% of everything to missions. And I thought, wow, Brother Pugh, that's awesome. They've been giving not 10%, but 30%. And I thought, wow. And he said, we want to add Faith Promise to the 30%. And I was like, good night, y'all are psycho. You know, what happens is with Faith Promise, please listen to me now, here's what happens. You know, you can keep giving the 10% to missions or however you want to do it, but what happens is you're not in a box with just 10%. In other words, it could be 11, 12, 13, 14, 17, 21% going to missions just by people just giving a little extra, and then everybody doing something, it just adds up. And they're like, wow, this is awesome. And then you can take on more missionaries. And by the way, 100 years from now, that's all that's going to matter is what we did for Jesus. Amen. Temporal things are temporary, and all these temporal things, the car, the house, all that stuff's going to pass away. But the Bible says, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The things we do for God, those are eternal things, okay? And what a blessing it is to be involved in that. So I'm just saying this tonight. By nature, we're stingy. By nature, we're selfish and stingy. My name's Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. Okay, I mean, that's just human nature. Amen? Now, there's a spirit here that goes along with this missions giving and this missions heart. Okay, are y'all with me? And I like, my wife is such a giving person. You know, I live in a jungle, y'all. My wife has a green thumb, and that we got flowers everywhere. And, oh, she's always giving people flowers. You know, and I'm proud of her. I love her, you know. We've been married 45 years and all of that. But, wow, she just has such a giving. I mean, you know, given it shall be given unto you. I mean, I'm telling you, she has that spirit. And, you know, I like that kind of spirit when people get that heart for God. And, you know, if God, you know, God blesses you, you know, if he blesses and you have a heart for God, the more you have, the more, you know, and he said it right. Somebody said it a while ago. God will give through you what he will not give to you. I think it was maybe one of the famous missionaries, Jim Elliot or somebody said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And man, I'm not living for this life. This world is not my home. I'm laying up treasures in heaven where the moth and the rust and the thieves can't break through and steal. Are y'all with me? And I'm laying up treasures in heaven. And every little boy and girl that gets saved in the distant lands, you know, in Africa and other places, when we get to heaven, we're going to be glad that Pastor, you know, taught us about missions and missionaries, and that we, you know, kind of the light came on and we understood that, wow, we're going to send the light. We got to pay the light. We got to help pay the light bill, you know. And so look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. You can tell my heart's really full. Yeah, my heart gets really full on all this stuff. And that's what I do. I travel and do missions conferences. So missions, I believe, is the heartbeat of Christ. Missions is the heartbeat of Christ. The command is clear in the Bible, and we've been memorizing, you know, going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And, you know, the heartbeat of Christ is missions. The health of the church is missions. I thank God your pastor has a heart for missions. Dr. Lee Robertson said everything rises and falls on leadership. And if your pastor doesn't care about it, or, you know, it'd be an afterthought. He never talked about it. No, we got to talk about it. I mean, the flags, isn't this beautiful? I mean, it just sets the tone for missions and missionaries. Get you thinking about it. You walk in and, wow, it's not always like this, but it's like this during the missions conference. And I like the decorations. I think it kind of sets the tone for the meeting, you know. And so the missions is the heartbeat of Christ. It's missions is the health of the church, and missions is the hope of every creature. The hope of every creature. The heartbeat of Christ, the health of the church, and the hope of every creature. Wow. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. We have the example here. 2 Corinthians 8, 1. We have the example of the churches of Macedonia. That would be the churches kind of in an area, Thessalonica, Berea, Philippi. They were there in an area, you know, the churches of Macedonia. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. The little word wit just means to know. We do you to wit of, and I want you to notice this next little statement here. We do you to wit of the grace of God, the grace of God, bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. In other words, this spirit that we're talking about, it's the grace of God at work in your life, the grace of God at work at my life, at work in my life, okay? Now look down at verse number 7. It says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, watch this now, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others. Watch this now. And to prove the sincerity of your love. So we're not just saying, you know, yeah, I get it. You know, there's people, yeah. We're not just giving them a wave offering. We're not just saying, be you warmed and filled. No. We're doing something about it. I mean, we're sending real live missionaries, and they're preaching the Word of God, and people are getting saved in the distant lands, okay? So, I mean, there was something about the churches of Macedonia. Now, look back in chapter 8, verse number 2, and here's the example they were. It says how that in a great trial, not just a trial, but a great trial of affliction, watch this now, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So, I mean, they gave when they were in a great trial, okay, number one, and then number two, they gave when they were in deep poverty. What is deep poverty? Poverty is poor, and deep poverty would be like the poor folks call you poor. I mean, it's the poorest of the poor, deep poverty, okay? And they still had this spirit, you know, and that's why they're in the Bible as an example. They had this heart for other people, even though they were going through a very hard time themselves. Are you with me? I mean, they just had this spirit, this grace of giving that came from the Lord. And see that you abound in this grace also. So there's a spirit, even though they were going through a rough time, you know, of great depression, great trial of affliction and deep poverty. And it says, abounded under the riches of their liberality. Now look at verse number 3. For to their power I bear record. Now it's within my power to give you what I have. And they gave to their power, to their ability, okay? And then it says, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Wow, beyond their power. Now, when you give to your power, you can give everything you have, but when you give beyond your power, you're getting into the realm of faith giving. Are you with me? I don't know about you, but I want God to be active in my life. I want to activate God. You know what activates God? Living by faith. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. Yeah, I'm living by faith. I feel no alarm. Maybe I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Hey, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. Amen. And Brother Roloff, you say, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Yeah, amen. Even so come Lord Jesus. Amen. And so this spirit here, they gave to their power, and then they gave beyond their power. Wow, 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 wow. Beyond their power. Now look at verse number 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, and take upon us, I've got those little us's circled there, praying us with much entreaty, and then take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So these folks here that were going through a real hard time, they had a heart, now listen to me, they had a heart to be a blessing to some other folks, the Jerusalem saints, like 700 miles away. These poor folks wanted to be a blessing to some other people who were going through a hard time and had some needs. Are you with me? And so you and I, we're sitting here and we're fat and sassy in America and God has blessed us, but yet we look and we watch the videos and we know we got missionaries all over the world. Well, we see that, wow, they're going to places that are very dark and they're going to places that have, like Alaska, that have very few gospel preaching churches. And we've got boots on the ground through our missionaries and we get to have a part from right here, you know what I'm saying, in Gillette, Wyoming, through our prayers and through our faith promise missions giving offering. So I'm not trying to sneak up on you. So I want to just give you this very quickly tonight. But again, they gave, number one, when they were in a great trial of affliction. Number two, they gave while they were in deep poverty. Number three, they gave beyond their own power. Wow. In verse number 3, verse number 4, they gave with a desire to do so. They wanted to let us, they wanted to enter into the fellowship. They wanted to be a blessing to somebody else. Isn't that good? And they wanted that. You know, it was their desire. It was in their heart. And again, this was that grace that's talked about here that was, you know, it was working in their lives, okay? And they wanted to take on the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And then number 5, the fifth one here, it says, and this they did in verse number 5, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Wow. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Wow, wow, wow. I don't know what's going on here, but I want a dose of it. Are you with me? I want a dose of it in my heart. Are y'all with me? I want that in your heart. This is just good stuff. And I'm going to chase a couple rabbits now, okay? I'm old and I'm a pawpaw and I like to chase rabbits. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 16. They say the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. In Acts chapter number 16, the Apostle Paul, him and Silas, they're at Philippi. and verse number 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Maybe this was just a little small community. They kind of go, there's not maybe not big enough to have a synagogue. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. So Paul and Silas, they're just kind of preaching away, and Lydia's there, and she hears. Now look at that next little statement there, whose heart the Lord opened. Hey, I can't save anybody, and you can't save anybody, but there's a Holy Spirit of God who can open people's hearts up so that they can receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul and Silas were just being faithful missionaries, and Lydia opened her heart up. The Holy Spirit of God opened Lydia's heart up, and she received Christ, whose heart the Lord opened. The preacher didn't open her heart, and the church didn't open her heart. The Lord did that. That she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, she got saved right along in there, and then she followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Lydia, the seller of purple, got saved, and then she gets baptized. Isn't this good? She got baptized in her household. I'm glad. I like that household stuff. Her family. Then watch what happens here. She, Lydia, besought us, Paul and Silas, saying, if ye have judged me, Lydia's talking here, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. The question is this tonight, who was it that put it on Lydia's heart to have the missionary team come over to her house? There wasn't a motel on every corner back in Bible days. And Lydia said, hey, Paul and Silas, why don't y'all just come over to my house? She'd just gotten saved and just gotten baptized. Who put it on her heart to do that for the missionaries? God did that. God put it on Lydia's heart to open up her home and make a prophet's chamber out of it for the missionaries. Are y'all with me? It's good, isn't it? By the way, when God moves into your heart, you'll do things for the Lord that you might not have ever dreamed you'd have done before He came into your heart. Does that make sense? Now, let's read on here. Don't you just love the Bible? Yeah, I love the Bible. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. That's one of them wicked heifers. She's full of the devil. Divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Wow, soothsayers. Devil worshiping stuff. I mean, we don't do that, do we? And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. What she was saying was right, but she was just a bad witness. I mean, she's a soothsayer, and that's not good. Even though what she was saying is true, and Paul, it grieved him in his spirit. Look what happens here. Verse number 18, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, this contrary spirit, this demonic spirit that was inside this woman, he said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out, this foul spirit, this bad spirit, came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, the politicians, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Really? They're a bunch of liars. They're lying through their teeth, okay? So you get somebody, you cast the devil out of somebody, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, okay? And wow. But they're just ticked off because they lost their ability to make money off this woman that was a soothsayer. So look what happens here. And they said, verse number 20, brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, so they kind of incited like a riot. And the magistrates rent off their clothes, and that's just a big bunch of smoke screen, you know, and stirring the people up, and commanded to beat them, you know. And it says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, upon Paul and Silas, they cast them, watch this now, into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So man, he put them in the inner prison and locked down in chains and stocks and all of that. Now look what happens. And at midnight, Paul and Silas griped and complained and bellyached. No, that's not what the Bible says, is it? No. At midnight, Paul and Silas got the poochy lip disease. No, it doesn't say they got the poochy lip disease. No, they weren't pouting. No, it says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Wow, they prayed and sang praises unto God. Wow. I mean, they're in stocks and they're in the inner prison. And maybe they just start cut loose and start singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Wow, they started singing and that music started going down through the corridors of the prison. Wow. Maybe they started singing, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. Boy, they just cut loose and they singing. And I don't even know if that song was written back then, but Amazing Grace wasn't either, was it? But anyway, they are singing, amen. I don't know what they singing, but the Bible says they sang praises unto God. Look at this now, and the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. Somebody else heard them too. Look at verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Not an earthquake, but a great earthquake. What's that mean? That's a big one. Okay, a great earthquake is a big earthquake. Okay, now look what happens here. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. Now, I preached in jail for 17 years, and I promise you, if this would have happened in Arkansas, they wouldn't have all still been there. They'd have been trying to round all the prisoners up. So I think it's a really big miracle that all the prisoners were still there when all the doors are open. Are you with me? And everything, their bands fell off and all of that. That's a giant miracle, okay? If you know how prisoners are, if they get the opportunity to run, they're going to run, okay? Then you got to get the hound dogs after them and all that stuff. Now, it says this, everyone's bands were loose. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And you can't really blame him. If you lost a prisoner, you paid for it with your life. Okay, I mean, it's a big deal to be a jailer. But if you lost a prisoner, if they escaped, you died. Okay, so he's just going to go ahead and commit suicide and say, well, they're all gone anyway. I'm just going to go ahead and take care of it myself, you know. And so, wow. But look what happens here. Would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, watch this now, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Wow. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling. And he jumps down in the inner prison. He sees they're all still there, came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What's a great question, isn't it? What must I do to be saved? And they said, here it is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I like those next three words, and thy house. Isn't that good? Wow. When the plain sense of the Bible makes common sense, then seek no other sense. Amen? I understand that, you know. Are you with me? I just understand what the Bible's saying here, and I just picture all this in my mind, okay? And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Paul and Silas speaking to the jailer. They spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them, watch this now, the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. That means immediately. Pastor, could you come and help me for a minute? Wow. Who was it? Move over this way just a little bit. Come here and help me, Brother Mark. Wow. Watch this, y'all. This is unbelievable. I know it's a big stretch. Stand up here by himself. We're going to let them be Paul and Silas. I know it's a big stretch, you know. But anyway, we're going to let them be, in my illustration, they're going to be Paul and Silas. Are y'all with me? Okay. Now, Paul and Silas, the same guys that were singing, you know, praises unto the Lord. And then, you know, we're all here, you know, do thyself no harm. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the same guy who laid many stripes on them, the same jailer who laid many stripes on them, is inviting them to his home to eat meat. I like meat. I like grilled meat. Chicken, steak, fish. I mean, I just like food. Amen. But listen, look at me. Hey, he's washing their stripes. The jailer is washing their stripes. The same jailer who laid many stripes on them is washing their stripes. Are you listening to me? He's washing their stripes. So I'm asking you tonight, come around this way, guys. I'm asking you tonight, I'm going to stand in the middle. Who was it that put it on the jailer's heart? The same jailer who beat these guys and thrust them into the inner prison and put them in fast in stocks. Who was it that put it on the jailer's heart to take these guys to his house and feed them some meat? The Lord. Exactly. Thank you, guys. It was the Lord. Are y'all with me? The same Lord that put it on Lydia's heart to take the missionaries to her house. Why? Because she got saved and she got baptized. And the same Lord who saved the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they were all saved and baptized, and he took them to his house and fed them some meat. Why? Because God put it on his heart to do that. Are you with me? Now, who is it that's going to put it on our heart to help reach people around the world that we've never seen before in places that we'll never go to? The same God that put it on Lydia's heart, the same God that put it on the Philippian jailer's heart, is the same God who speaks to my heart and allows me to have a part. I don't have a lot, but I can give a little bit of what I have, and God blesses it. You pray and you just ask the Lord, Lord, what do you have me to do? We had a lady that went to our church years ago. She worked for the school for the blind in Little Rock, Arkansas. And this lady was not normal. She was up in years, 80s, on oxygen. She'd come into church and wheel her little oxygen bottle in and sit on the second row. And this lady had trouble getting settled. We moved her from Little Rock to El Dorado, from El Dorado to Strong, from Strong back to El Dorado, back to Little Rock, and back to El Dorado. She couldn't get settled. You know, she's up in years and you know, just kind of winding down. But she was sitting there on the second row in her oxygen bottle. And we had our faith promise missions commitment, and she moved to Little Rock. Well, I checked the mail at the church sometimes, and every month we would get a check in. And I opened the letter up from her name's Maddie, and Maddie would send in $8, $2 a week. A little widow woman, $2 a week. She's on a fixed income, but she prayed. And when she moved back to El Dorado, I mean, every month it was like clockwork, and I was just trying to commend her. I'm her preacher, and I love her, and I was just trying to commend her, but she's a real strong personality. And she said, let me tell you something. And I was like, whoa. And so I let her tell me something. And she said, let me tell you something. She said, when I made that promise, she said, I didn't make that promise to you, and I didn't make that promise to the church. She said, when I made my missionary promise, I made it to God. And I wasn't about to not fulfill my promise to God. And I just said, Miss Maddie, that's great. You know, I mean, I didn't know what to say, but I'm praise the Lord, you know. And just kind of let her, I just kind of yielded to her, but she was right. We had a lady one time, Miss Winnie Bell Kegley, she's in heaven now. And you know, it's hard to sit here and see the missionaries and hear their testimonies and not want to do something, you know. And that's what I'm here for, to challenge you. And I'm tender-hearted, but it's way more than just having somebody bringing somebody in and telling you stories. It's way more than that. I mean, souls hang in the balance, okay? Well, Miss Winnie Bell, she is a widow woman and a tremendous cook. We would go to her house and she'd feed my family, my brother's family, and she loved the Lord. And man, she was a great lady. But came missions conference time one year and she didn't have a lot of money. She's on a fixed income, Social Security. And so Miss Winnie Bell said that she was going to give up her cable vision. She was going to give up her the money she was spending on cable vision, she was going to give that to missionaries, to missions that year. Well, her three children, they all had some means. They had money. And they heard that Mama was going to give up her cable vision. And they said, oh, Mama, we'll take care of your cable vision. You know, you give your money to missions, we'll take care of the cable vision. And Miss Winnie Bell said, no, you won't. She said, that defeats the whole purpose of it. I'm going to do without something that I don't absolutely have to have so that some more people can go to heaven. I mean, that was her heart. There's a spirit that goes along with what we're talking. Are you listening to me? There's a spirit that Lydia had to invite the missionary. There's a spirit that the Philippian jailer had, okay? And it's just the spirit of wanting to be a blessing, wanting to be used by the Lord, okay? And that's the spirit that we want in a missions conference, is that heart to care for somebody else. Does that make sense? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Little is much when God is in it. Amen. And God can take a little boy's five loaves or seven loaves and a few small fishes and break it and bless it and feed a multitude. Why? Because a little boy was willing to give what he had to Jesus. Amen. And I'm just saying, it don't matter to me the amount, but you just do what God tells you to do. Does that make sense? And again, it'll be just right, okay? And this is good stuff, isn't it? Yeah. We love you, missionaries. Oh, yes, we do. We don't love anyone as much as you. When you're not with us, we're blue. Oh, missionaries, we love you. Hey, we need to pray for them. And thank the Lord that we can have a part. We can have, and that's what my goal is, 100% participation. 100% participation. Let me tell you one more little story. I got a lot of missionary stories, but one more little story. Brother John Horton is a friend of mine, and he's like 6'5". And we went to the Philippines, and they thought he was like an NBA basketball player. He played college basketball, but, you know, the Filipinos are not real tall. And so he just looked like a giant. You know, everywhere we went, he was like a celebrity. You know, they're like, wow, you know. And they're looking up at him. And, well, Brother Horton at that time had never been on a missions trip. And so I had him and Pastor Danny Allen, another preacher friend of mine there in Arkansas. And Brother Horton had his 12-year-old son at that time. Anthony was with us. And so it was Anthony's first missions trip, too. And so we went over to the Philippines, and we were involved in the Beams Bible Ministry, and they give whole hardback Bibles to missionaries free of charge. And so we had a conference, and there was 90-something Filipino national pastors that came, and well, we were giving them boxes of Bibles, whole hardback Bibles, to take back to their people. And man, it just touched my heart. See, all of them, they come in on bicycles and tricycles and all kinds of different ways they got there, walked in and all of that. And I asked the pastor that was hosting the meeting, I said, you know, what could I do for them? He said, well, if you bought them a snack, I said, let's do it. You know, we bought them just a piece of bread and a Coca-Cola. And, oh, man, I just watched them all. That was a big deal to get a snack like that. And they were sleeping on pallets in this gymnasium. And my heart just went out to them because I knew they didn't have anything. And I just love the Filipino people. And I don't eat baluts. You know, that's those duck eggs they bury in for 18 days or whatever. I do not eat baluts, you know. I eat lumpias, those little egg roll things. I love lumpias, you know. And those things are amazing. They got that little sweet and sour, tangy sauce that you dip them in, and they're good. If you had never had one, it'll change your life. Amen. But so anyway, we're over there on this big field trip, you know, in the Philippines and doing these conferences. And we come back to Manila, preach at a large church there. There's two brothers over there. the Lorena brothers, Ed Lorena, Gil Lorena. They pastor very large churches in Manila, the Manila area. Went out to the National Cemetery, and I saw all the different, where American soldiers had died, and all the white crosses, and all the different states that, that soldiers from America, you know, it's if you're patriotic, you know, the Filipinos love America for General Douglas MacArthur, you know, liberating them. And all of that. So, I mean, it was a very patriotic time for me. Well, then I flew over to another island, and it was called Iloilo. And Iloilo is where missionary Rick Martin is at. He's a very famous missionary, started a lot of churches. And so we're there with Rick Martin, and we go out to view some of the little church plants. And it'd just be like a very modest little, like a little concrete pad with a little makeshift building with tarpaulin. I mean, it was just like, not even a shed, what we would call a shed, you know, I mean, there's just little dwellings or whatever, but people would gather under there because of the rain, all that, they'd get underneath those places, and the Bible would be preached and souls would be saved. And so I my heart was moved just seeing how little they had and yet how much they loved the Lord. And we went to, got back to the first Filipino national pastor who the first graduate of their Bible college over there. And he was a little short Filipino. He's bald-headed. He was older. And they're cooking outside. And, you know, big old pots and things outside. Well, then they start to kind of put all the food out on the table. And they had a boy there with a big leaf, and he was kind of going back and forth, and he was keeping the flies off the food. And I was very thankful for that boy, you know, just sitting there just shooing them flies away. And I was praising the Lord for him. And they sent somebody down the hill to get me a Coca-Cola in a glass bottle. How many of y'all remember the glass bottle Coca-Colas have the good fizz? Yeah, so, you know, you don't drink the water and don't eat the lettuce and all that stuff when you travel internationally. You get sick, you know, you got to be careful. And so anyway, I was glad to get that Coca-Cola. Well, anyway, we're sitting there, and it's family style, so we're just kind of like you would do at home, passing the bowls around. And so Anthony's sitting there, and Anthony reaches into a bowl of chicken. It's kind of got chicken and gravy, you know, kind of a gravy type stuff, and kind of a thin gravy type stuff. And so he reaches in his bowl of chicken and picks him out a piece of chicken. And the first piece of chicken he got was a chicken's foot. And, you know, we don't eat chicken feet over here much. Like, you know, that's not something our go-to piece of chicken, you know, if you know what I mean, in America, you know. And Anthony, you know, he's 12 years old, and so he's looking. His eyes are getting big. And so listen to this now. He went back and down in the bowl and dipped in the gravy, and the second piece of chicken that he pulled out of that bowl was a hen, and it was her head. It was the chicken's head, and I'm a country boy, and he dips that head out, and I'm looking at that head. He's looking at, his eyes are big, and I'm like, and that hen was winking at him. She had one eye open and one eye closed. And I'm like dying laughing. And so the missionary sees all this, and he's like, here, Anthony, here, let me get you. And so finally got him a piece of chicken he can navigate. But I laughed and laughed some more. And Anthony and that chicken's head winking at him and all of that. But, you know, I do, honestly, I love missionaries, and I thank God for their labor of love in the distant lands. And, you know, I was at this missionary's home, Rick Martin, and just a very humble dwelling. I mean, it wasn't like a, you know, he's not living like, they don't live like kings, or, you know, they're not just taking American money and going over there and living high on the hog. No, they just kind of, you know, they're just humble servants of the Lord, just reaching people for Jesus Christ. But I love missions and I love missionaries. Aren't you glad that we can be a part of the team? I didn't tell you the third one. Let me get the piano player. Where is she at, the piano player? Yeah, there, come, get ready. So I said there's the go missionary, and then I said there's the co-missionary, and then the third group of people is the no missionary. And that's the ones that they're just not involved at this point. And that's why I'm here. I want everybody. Does that make sense? I want everybody to do something. Does that make sense? And then we take all of our littles and we put it together, or whatever the Lord tells you to do. I mean, you just do what he tells you to do and it'll be just right. Does that sound fair enough? Okay. All right. We're going somewhere, and y'all are listening and getting it. And I'm just kind of sharing my heart with you. Okay. And we love you, okay? And I appreciate y'all letting me come. And I love your pastor. I'm learning him a lot while I'm here. It don't take me long to teach him everything I know. Amen? Amen. We worked on math today a little bit. I'm a mathematician. I wanted to teach him that pi are round and cornbread are square. Amen? So, no, I'm teasing. All right, let's bow our heads. We'll pray. Father, we love you tonight. We sure do. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the spirit of the people, Lord, you said we do you to wit, Lord. You want us to know about the churches of Macedonia, and Lord, this grace of God that you bestowed on them. Lord, I don't know all about it, but Lord, whatever they had, Lord, I want a dose of it. Lord, whatever Lydia had that made her want to host the missionary, Lord, I want to have that kind of spirit. Whatever the Philippian jailer had that made him wash Paul and Silas's stripes, Lord, I want to have that spirit, Lord, that heart to want to be a help and a blessing to somebody else. Lord, please, tonight, please, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. We're just praying, Lord. We don't know, but we're just praying because we want to do what you want us to do in this area of helping reach the world that Jesus Christ died for. And I thank you for all that's been done over the years here at the church. But Lord, we just believe the greatest days are yet ahead of us, Lord, in the area of faith promise mission. So bless now the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.